بالله نستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. قال تعالى في قرآن المجيد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. أطيعوا الله وأطيعوا الرسول وأولي الأمر منكم. قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: من قال لا إله إلا الله دخل الجنة. قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: يا أيها الناس قولوا لا إله إلا الله تفلحون، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Respected sisters in Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with iman, and because of this iman, on the day of judgment, in the grave, in the hereafter, we will see the benefits. It is the rule of life that anything that we make effort upon, we will see its benefit. In this age, man has made effort on his wealth, on his property, on his material, on his assets. Therefore, he has realized the importance and significance of wealth, property. The more you make effort on anything, the more that value comes in the heart, the significance of that item comes in the heart. That is why man has made effort upon iron, and today, alhamdulillah, because of his effort, which requires time, sacrifice, blood, sweat, wealth, which he puts behind iron, that very same iron which I am speaking to and addressing you via the microphone, the very same iron is flying above our heads. If he did not make effort on this iron, then we would not realize the value of it, the importance of it, and the utility of it. But man, because he has made effort upon this, he is able to realize the value of that iron, the significance of it, and how he can use it. Similarly, in the same strain and vein, that if we make effort upon iman, and we realize the value of iman, then the significance and the value of iman will come in our heart. The more effort we make on iman, the more valuable the results will be. There are three things which we should bear in mind, and we should narrate, and we will correlate these three things with qurbani. Because alhamdulillah, very soon we are going to make qurbani, so we should know something about qurbani and why it is important and why we do it and the reasons behind it, when it started, why it started, and why we in the millat of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam do it. Given time, inshallah, we will try to cover these aspects. And if we have the time shortage, then inshallah some other day we will cover it. We will try to make some effort and concise the talk and be more specific without deviating, so that we can realize why we make qurbani and how it started and some philosophical aspects about it. You bear with me a little difficulty because you cannot visualize who is speaking and we are far apart, but alhamdulillah, Shariat has its wisdom Shariat of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is complete, perfect, and it is the way that leads to Jannah. Any method of propagation which is contrary to the ways of Shariat cannot prove successful results. You cannot use an impermissible haram method of propagation in Islam and get good fruits. The correct way of propagating Islam, if used, would give good results, proper results, results which are desirable for Islam. If we use a wrong method of propagating Islam, we will get results, but this will be spasmodic, it will be temporary, it won't last long, and it will be like soda water. The idea of Qurbani and the belief of Qurbani and the practice of Qurbani comes from Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. Before linking it properly, I would just like to explain three terms. What is Islam, what is Iman, and what is Ihsan? Iman is located in the heart, Islam is all those external things that we do. Islam means recitation of kalima, making salat, going for hajj, everything that has got to do with the external aspect in the deal of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will be defined as Islam. And Ihsan, as defined in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, means that every action that we do and every thought that comes in our mind must have the beautification in it. And by beautification of thought and beautification in action, we mean it must have sincerity, it must have humility, it must have the quality of devotion, it must have the quality that we are doing it for the sole pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and no one else. If we do any action and we say that we are doing it for show or for boast or for the public, then this action here, although it will remove the responsibility of obligatory nature from our heads, but we won't get any proper results, we won't get the complete sawab for it. For example, a person does qurbani and he does it for show or he does it to boast, then the obligatory nature of qurbani will be fulfilled, but the sawab won't be complete. So every action of ours and every thought of ours, however little it may seem or sound or be, it must have the qualities of sincerity, it must have the qualities of devotion, it should have the qualities that we are doing it for the sole pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and no one else. Then we will see that our Islam and our Iman is progressive. We will see spiritual benefit in ourselves and we will see that we are becoming better people. Provided that we have this quality of Ihsan, that this quality that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching us, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the knower, He knows what thought goes in our hearts and all those aspects. Allah Rabbul Izzat, He is the knower and He is the all knower. The practice of Qurbani is linked with Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. The millet of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam and the millet of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in it there are various similarities. During the time of Ibrahim alayhi salam and the time of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there are various similarities. The shariat of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa sallam and the shariat of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there are very similar things which occurred. One basic point, that the best method of propagating Islam to the Christians and the Jews is this common ground, that they agree on Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. The Jews also say that Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam is their ancestor. The Christians also say that Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam is their ancestor. And we also say with full conviction that Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam is our ancestor. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has referred to this in the hadith, that Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa sallam is from our ancestors, our grandfather. All prophethood is live with Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. So if we were to propagate Christianity to the Christians and the Jews, then we should enlighten them with the history of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam in a proper way, putting it in true perspective. Then inshallah they will be able to see the similarity and the beauty of Islam. However, their claim is refuted in the Quran Kareem when they say that Ibrahim alayhi salam was a Jew or a Christian. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refutes this in the Quran Kareem when he says that Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam was not a Jew and not a Christian, but he was following the uprighteous deed of Tawheed and propagation of Tawheed. The similarity of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam and our deed is very simple. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam preached Tawheed. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam preached Tawheed. And alhamdulillah, Tawheed, which is the fountainhead of Iman, in Islam is pure, is pristine, without any strings attached to it. And it is so simple, and it hasn't got any clouds. Even the Christians of this age, they say no, that they also believe in Tawheed. But unfortunately, you and I know that they, up to date, cannot understand their Trinity. It says three in one and one in three. They, up to date, cannot fathom how three equals one and one equals three. So their Tawheed and their concept of Tawheed is not clean, it is not pristine and pure like Islamic Tawheed. The Jews also, they say that they believe in Tawheed. And they say Uzair ibn Allah, they say Uzair is son of Allah. Therefore, their Tawheed also is not pure and pristine. Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us Tawheed, which is pure, which is clean, which hasn't got any strings attached, which is so logical and reasonable. So, the Tawheed of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam was the very same Tawheed preached by Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the difficulties which Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam underwent because of Tawheed, that his father put him out of the house, and then they put him into the fire, he had to make hijrat. All these things are similar in nature to the life of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasalam, because Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasalam was also harassed and beaten up by the kuffar in the city of Mecca because of Tawheed. And because of Tawheed, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had to say that to his uncle, that if you place the son on my right hand and the fool on the left hand, I will not give up this fall. Either I give this fall or I perish giving this. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa sallam also was extremely steadfast in the preaching of Tawheed and in the propagation of Tawheed to such an extent that they put him into the fire. The second similarity is that in the millet and in the shariat of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, in the life of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam has to make hijrah. And Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasalam also has to make hijrah. For the upliftment of deen, for the protection of deen, and for the propagation of deen, with the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was given, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam and Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam similarly made hijrah. And as you and I know, that hijrah indeed gives goodness and brings nusrat, the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wherever a person, a Muslim, makes hijrah means basically moving from one place to another place. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made hijrat from Mecca to Medina. And what do we learn from this is very simple, that when Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made hijrat from Mecca to Medina, it means that when he was in Mecca, he was not in Medina, and when he went to Medina, he was not in Mecca. Because hijrat means to move from one place to another place. You have to be existent in one place so that you can move to another place where you are not there. And when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam Similarly, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam, when he made hijrah, that he held the usrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Similarly, this is in our age too. If you say, more hijrat, the more the usrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes. One example is, for example, a person, when he leaves his house and comes to salah, there's a small movement here, maybe a small movement towards the masjid, the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala immediately. And the more movement he makes towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's house, and he attaches himself to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then the more help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is upon him, and spiritual favors come upon him. The third similarity between the life of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam and Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is recorded. It is recorded in the Jewish book and in the Christian book about these three aspects. So he is of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam, the hijrat of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam, and the qurbani of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam. The qurbani means slaughtering, or the intention to slaughter Ismail alayhi salatu wa salam. But if you read the Christian scriptures, the idea, the concept, and the belief of Tawheed has been interpolated, has been corrupted, and has been added upon and destroyed to such an extent that it overlays on. And concerning Hijrah, the three scriptures talk about the Jewish scriptures, the Christian scriptures, and the Holy Quran. But that is the third aspect, qurbani. The Jewish scriptures speak about it, the Christian scriptures speak about it, the Noble Quran mentions it, and the Hadith mentions it. And the point of difference is, alhamdulillah, that we claim that we love Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam, and our claim is true. And our claim is proper. Because we are the only believers. We are the only Ummah, we are the only nation. When compared to the Christians and the Jews, we or the Muslims are the only people who practice the Holy Quran. No Jew undertakes the Quran. No Christian undertakes the Quran. But alhamdulillah, we Muslims, we the Quran. And because of our practice, because of our external actions, we can strongly and with confidence say that we love Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam. That is why we practice upon the speaking of him, and we adhere to that practice of Quran. Because a person, if he says, I love someone, then whatever that someone does, he will also do. It is same like we say, that if we love Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then our duty is first and foremost to believe that whatever Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has brought, we must believe it is the truth of Islam. That is the difference between us and the Sahaba Ikram. Sahaba Ikram, whatever Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told it, they believed in it, and they believed in it with full faith. Today, unfortunately, we have become disservices. We have become damned Muslims, not damned Muslims. That we profess that we believe in whatever Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam brought, but we hesitate and we question and we go into big, lengthy philosophical discussions whether we should do it or not. Sahaba Ikram, as soon as the command of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came, immediately, they practice. Let alone the men, but the females and the women also. For example, the law of Parana, the law of Hijab, came down in Madinah Munawwara. As you and I know, repeatedly we say this, that the rules of belief, the regulations concerning belief and Imaniyat were all given in Mecca, mostly. And in Medina,
about succession, about ibadat, and about other rules came down in Medina. The law of Farida also came down in Medina. And it is interesting to note that the highest concerning Farida, they came down in the night. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned the ayat to the Sahaba in the night, and these ayats have come down for 30 Farida. And it is reported that by the morning, by the Fajr Salat, the women folk, when they came down and they hold, they were already home. They were in Farida. First of all, the ayat came down to the night. That means the men folk went around reciting those ayats to their wives and preaching it among and propagating it among the women folk of Medina. In the night, as soon as the ayat came down. And thirdly, that the women folk did not practice it. The philosophy of Farida, or the wisdom of Farida, or the secrets of Farida, or whether it's going to be detrimental to us, the pros and cons of it, or whether we are going to be called backward, or whether we are going to be called orthodox, or all these things did not go into their mind. Immediately the order came with a practice. Today too, once we come to know of the order of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, once we come to know of the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if we also practice it, the same hell which descended upon the Sahaba ikram will descend upon us. Provided we do it with conviction, sincerity, devotion, humility, and plus we do it solely for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then inshallah we will be able to become good Muslims and we'll see the aid of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then it is rest assured, according to the Quran and the Hadith, that the conditions in our area, the conditions in our home, the conditions in our locality, the conditions in our country will change. Conditions in our home, rising up to our country, depend on the conditions of the Muslims, which many of us fail to realize. Some of us feel that though the conditions come because of other people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decides the condition or makes the decision of the condition for the people looking at the condition of the Muslim. If we in this country, if we in this state, if we in this part of the world as Muslims behave and if we conform to the Sharia and we adhere to the Sharia of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then the condition will be favorable. And if we you are following to the Sharia of Rasulullah and if you do not adhere to the sunnah of Rasulullah and you do not adhere to the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then the conditions will be ended. You see, there is necessary to do. You can look around, you see, look at Burma, look at Bangladesh, look at Mozambique, look at Angola, look at all these areas that take lessons. But what happens to those areas and why it happens? And when we come to the bottom line, we will realize that because of the Muslims deteriorating spiritually and not adhering to the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the difference. And the very same thing which happens because of deteriorating spiritual conditions in other areas of the world. Because the sunnah and the habit of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not been. Qurbani Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam was instructed to make because of his dream. He got his dream three times that he was slaughtering his son Ismail alayhi salam. Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam had two sons, Ismail and Ishaq. Here it is known, you should know that the Christians say that prophethood is supposed to come from Ishaq alayhi salam. And we say Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is linked with Ismail alayhi salam. There is a lengthy discussion in various books, and our belief the prophethood came from Ismail alayhi salam progeny is right, and many books have been written from him. Those questions is time to check up. Because the Christians go around and say that from Ismail alayhi salam to a salam progeny, no prophet. And we say definitely we're Anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam from the tragedy of Ibrahim. Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam was aged, he was old, and he got this dream that he was sacrificing his beloved young youthful son Ismail alayhi salam. Now imagine this order coming to Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam, who is old now and who is looking at his son playing around, moving around, and becoming a coolness for his eyes. Nevertheless, he calls Ismail alayhi salatu wa salam and he tells him about this. And then Ismail alayhi salatu wa salam immediately accepts. And he accepts this willingly. Here, the Christians, they pose some objections against us. Why I'm mentioning this? Well, I've come to know that the Christians in the area are trying to do some work amongst Muslims, and they are putting all sorts of objections against Islam. First of all, we must realize one thing, that we have to educate ourselves. Firstly, secondly, that Christian missionaries must not be allowed in our homes. Especially there where there is no male form. There is no such thing that if a Christian missionary has got white skin, that he can come to talk to our Muslim ladies. Because there is no such thing as superiority because of the color of the skin. If there is no male folk at home, then the Christian missionary must not be allowed at home. Secondly, that if you are to entertain the Christian missionaries, then the men folk also must be educated in order to talk to them. And education has to be of a good level. So the Christians say that how come Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was going to sacrifice his son in the same way that Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was going to sacrifice his son? They say that God sacrificed his son on the cross. So because that is permissible, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam sacrificing his son, then this also is permissible. That God can sacrifice his son as a redemption for sins of mankind. So our answers are very simple. So you should listen and pay attention to the reasoning. Because they say, and it is in conformity to the teaching of Islam also, that we should bring into our lives, we should bring into our character the qualities of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is also mentioned in the hadith that we should try to imitate the qualities of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has got the quality of Razzaq, that He sustains. So we also, that we feed the poor, we are charitable, we aid people. So this quality of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is Razzaq, we bring it to ours. Our lives, so that we can become good. Like a person standing up in tahajjud. When he stands up in tahajjud, then that means he is not sleeping. And when he is not sleeping, that this not sleeping is a quality of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he is imitating Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not sleep. So if a Muslim, when he stands up in tahajjud, that means he is not sleeping, that is why he is imitating Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is why he is becoming perfect. That is why he is becoming good, and he is becoming spiritually progressive. So every quality of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if we imitate, and the more we imitate these qualities, the better we will become. So we reply to these Christians, that Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam, he intended to sacrifice Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam because he wanted to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he wanted to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is more superior to him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a creator, nourisher, sustainer of everybody. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, he wanted to make qurbani of his son, and he wanted to sacrifice his son, he wanted to slaughter his son in the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And similarly, we make qurbani for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is our Khaliq and Malik, is our Razik, is our Sustainer, is our Creator and Darisha. We do these actions, every action of ours is for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
When we have this concept that we are doing it for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam is also doing it for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we can easily refute these Christians and say to them that, listen, if you say that God sacrificed his son, then who did he do it for? For whose pleasure did he do it?
So we also reply to them and tell the truth that a person, you also agree, the Jews agree, and the Christians also agree, and Muslims also say this, that when Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam went to sacrifice his son, then a ram came, and Ismail alayhi salatu wa salam was not sacrificed. Instead, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down the ram from Jannah, and the ram that was there, which was preserved for this occasion, came down, and Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam, he sacrificed the ram. The Christians agree to this. In their historical narrations, it is also like this. The Jews also say this, that Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam did not sacrifice Ismail alayhi salam, but a ram was made in between, and he sacrificed the ram. Alhamdulillah, our history also runs like that. So Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam did not sacrifice Ismail alayhi salam, but a ram came in between. Our argument and our reasoning towards the Christians and our question towards the Christians is that similarly, that if you say that God sacrificed his son, then you say similarly, if you are to relate these two incidents, then you must say that Isa alayhi salam was not sacrificed, but someone instead of him was sacrificed. Someone instead of Isa alayhi salam was put upon the cross and not Hazrat Isa alayhi salam. Because if you are to relate these two qurbanis, the Christian sacrifice and Ibrahim alayhi salam and the goat sacrifice, and Ibrahim alayhi salam and the Hazrat Ismail alayhi salam sacrifice, then as the goat came, the ram came in between here, then definitely someone else was put on the cross and not Hazrat Isa alayhi salam. And that is our belief. Then we say that Hazrat Isa alayhi salam was definitely not to kill and was definitely not sacrificed, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raised him physically, bodily to the heaven. Another very important point to note about the sacrifice, the qurbani is, and we should note this point very carefully, that Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam, he is a Nabi. And he had a dream that he is sacrificing his son. He is sacrificing his son, he is slaughtering his son. And the dream of a Nabi, according to us, and Hazrat Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala says, that a dream of a Nabi, that is sutra. And the dream of a Nabi is what he calls a path of revelation. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also should get dreams before the first proper revelation which Jibreel alayhi wa sallam gave in the cave. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also should get dreams, and these dreams in the morning to turn out to be true. The dreams of Anbiya alayhi salatu wa sallam, they are truthful and they form part of Sharia. The dreams of ordinary Muslims, the dreams of even saints, do not make Sharia. Do not make laws in Sharia, do not make rules in Sharia. That's the first point. The second point which we should know and we should learn and memorize and fully implant in our heads and hearts and bring it as part of belief, that Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam took his son and he had a knife, he sharpened the knife, and he went with his full intention of slaughtering his son, of sacrificing his son. And he went with the intention that when he comes back, he will come without his son. He went with the intention that he will sacrifice his son and come back home, and he will come without his son. And he will sacrifice his son for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are certain people who say, no, that the saints and the prophet and our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have got knowledge of the unseen. If Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam had knowledge of the unseen, then this whole idea of qurbani, this whole concept of qurbani, this whole practice of qurbani will become a drama. Who cannot do this? That if he knows beforehand that my son is not going to sacrifice, but a ram from Jannah is going to come, and I'm going to sacrifice the ram, and I'm not going to sacrifice my son, who cannot do that?
Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam does not know the knowledge of the Yadzi. He is not the possessor of the knowledge of the Yadzi. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reserves this right alone for himself. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is Allahul Ghuyub, he is the one who has the knowledge of the Yadzi. And he is the one who possesses the knowledge of the Yadzi. And he is the only one who possesses total knowledge of the Yadzi. Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam and the Abdi alayhi salam and Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they do not possess the knowledge of the Yadzi, they do not possess the knowledge of the Yadzi. That is why this becomes a sacrifice and does not become a drama. The third point that we should note is, take note, as far as the sacrifice, as far as the Qurban is concerned, is Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa sallam, he put Ismail alayhi salam down, and he put the knife on his throat, and he put pressure on that knife, and he wanted to slaughter his son, and his son was not able to get slaughtered. The knife has the quality of slaughtering, the knife has the quality of cutting, the knife has the quality of shedding blood, but that knife did not work. Meaning that everything on this earth here, fire has the quality of burning, water has got the quality of cooling, the knife has got the quality of cutting. Every instrument on this earth here is under the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why it is our belief, and it is our father's belief, that not a leaf of the tree will fall, but it will fall because of the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The knife will not cut, but it will cut by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Water will not drown, as in the case of Isa alayhi salam, but it will drown when Pharaoh comes into the earth. The water which has got the quality of drowning, the quality will be removed when Musa alayhi salam went there, and he was able to pass through. But when Pharaoh came, he drowned there. Fire has got the quality of burning, but when Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam was put into the fire, that very fire became true. Otherwise, the fire has got the quality of burning, and it will burn that. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in full control, and he is not resting. As certain Christians believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he created the earth and the skies, and now he is resting on the seventh. Like a carpenter making a chair, and now he sat on the chair and he is resting. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created the skies, and he created the earth, and he is in full control of the earth and the skies, and he is in full control of the supervision of the earth and the skies. That is why that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can give the power of cutting to the knife when he wants to, and he can remove the power of cutting when he wants to. That is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can give the quality of burning to the fire and remove it whenever he wants to. That is why when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala desires to give the water the quality of drowning, he gives it, and when he wants to remove this quality, he removes it. Another point that comes clearly, that Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam, his intention and his will, and what he wanted to do was to cut Ismail alayhi salam, but he could not do it. Here there are two things, that Ibrahim alayhi salam's will on one side, his will and his intention, his irada on one side, and here the intention of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when the will of the Nabi is on one side and the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is on one side, then the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala supersedes the will of the Nabi. Meaning very clearly that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is full mukhtar. And he is only full mukhtar. That he does, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does what he wants, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does how he wants, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does when he wants, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not under any obligation to do what he wants. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yeah, he decided that Ibrahim alayhi salam, who wants to cut his son, wants to slaughter his son, this will not happen. Because the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala supersedes the will of any other creation. And the Abdi alayhi salatu wa salam, they are the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are the makhluk of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They also are under the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is no such thing that certain says that his will is more than the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and his intention is more than the intention of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is no such thing that the will of the Nabi is more than the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What the Nabi will or what the Nabi wants to do, that also has to be sanctioned and approved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in the simple case of
poor body, we can come to realize
various beliefs that the body is not possessors of the knowledge of the unseen. That the body's will is also subservient and is also subjugated to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Nabi, he also has to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he also has to just do what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants him to do. These days, there are a lot of what we call salacious statements against Islam. And these certain youth get influenced that they say, all these statements here, they are strong proofs against Islam. And you get all excited and you get all confused. Because of lack of knowledge and because of lack of good Islamic education and lack of spiritual background. By salacious statement, I will give you an example. That certain Hindu said that you people eat fowl. And if a fowl dies, then you won't eat it. But if you slaughter the fowl, then you will eat it. You will say that is halal. Then why do you eat that which you slaughter, you eat, you regard it as halal, and you eat it. And that which Allah himself kills, you know what to eat. So when the youth hear this, they say, oh, well, it's a very strong proof against Islam. And they say this because it is lack of knowledge. Whereas this argument or this statement is salacious in nature. Salacious in this sense that it has got no base. It hasn't got any reasoning. And to refute this, our argument is very simple. That the priests or the pundits that accuse us of eating what we slaughter and not eating which dies naturally by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we ask them, that, oh pundits, that are you married? The pundits will say, yeah, I'm married. So if you are married, then who are you married to? He is saying, and the Hindus believe that they cannot marry close relatives.
They have to marry
very far.
They have to
marry people who are
far
relatives
or
who are complete strangers. He asks the person why. He says, no, this is in our dharam, this is in our religion, that you cannot marry someone who is close. And if you ask him that if his daughter is getting married, he says, yes, daughter is getting married, but very far away. So you ask him why, he says, no, this is in my religion, this is in my dharam, this is in this
part of my life.
So our question to them is
very simple.
That
if you,
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you a daughter, why you don't marry your daughter,
and why you go and marry someone who is very far?
Although this
is the Ilzami Jawab,
and this
is to silence him,
and the original answer Hazrat Shah Abdul Aziz Jalili Ramtullah Allah has given, very simple, that the reason why we make halal and the reason why we slaughter our animals with the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you and I know
that we have to take the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala while slaughtering, is very simple, that we, by taking the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before slaughtering,
we are actually speaking tradition. We are actually seeking permission from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Ya Allah grant us
permission to take the soul of this animal. And by taking this name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by uttering the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are actually fulfilling this condition of taking permission and getting the permission for taking the soul of the animal. And we do this and we slaughter the animal. That is why we can consume the animal and use the animal. That is why it is very essential for us to keep away from those people who claim they are knowledgeable people. And especially in this age and in our country, those youth organizations which are trying to claim that they know a lot. Lately we had a case, a person, a Christian
on the ring
here, who was supposed to be attacking Islam, he went to a youth organization and told them,
see, the Hadith states,
that the ones who got black faces won't enter into Jannah,
and the ones who got white faces, they will go into Jannah.
See, the Hadith says that blacks, they are going to hell,
and the whites, they are going to Jannah.
So the youth were excited and said, yes, oh, that Hadith cannot be a Hadith. This must be a fabricated Hadith.
This must be a cooked up Hadith.
This is not a reliable Hadith. And this is not what Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has said. So the person said, oh, you like a hadith, I'll show you its reference. And he brought out Mishkat and he showed them in Mishkat. He said, see, this hadith is from Mishkat. First of all, that is why we say that to read these
translated words,
it is detrimental. Because the translators, half of the time, they don't know what they're translating and they don't translate it correctly.
Whereas the answer is
so simple
and so easy that
this hadith here, the Arabic refers to those people
whose faces will be hiding.
There will be two types of people
on the day of judgment.
Those people whose faces will be shining, and those people whose faces will not be shining. And those people whose faces will be shining, it will be shining because of Iman, and it will be shining because of the acceptance of Islam. These people whose faces will be shining will go into Jannah.
And those people
whose face will not be shining, obviously because it will not be shining,
there won't be any luster in it,
there won't be any brightness in it, and that is showing that they will be denying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they will go into Jannah. So the person translating, instead of saying that these people's face will be shining, he said that they are white. And the person, instead of saying that these people's face will be without luster, he said these people are black. So that person took it into the political context and started saying black people into hell and white people into Jannah. So we should educate ourselves and we should become practical Muslims. And the only way we can do this is by adhering to the commands of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And 1-2 points before I conclude. First of all, that qurbani is compulsory and obligatory upon that person upon whom sadqatul fitr was wajib, compulsory. Now many places they feel and there is a notion that only the men must make qurbani. This is wrong.
And this is a wrong notion that is going around. Just as
had it been compulsory in the month of Ramadan, the Sadaqat al-Fitr was wajib upon the females, so also the females must make qurban. And they should also take out their money and purchase the animal and make qurban. However, there are various other things which Muslims do these days. There they gather their money and they may send it to India and Malawi. And now, if you and I are going to send your money to Malawi and India, there could be some reasons. First of all, then you may say, no, the animal is expensive here, therefore I'll send it to India, I'll send it to Malawi, and that will be cheap. This is absolutely trying to fool Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is impossible, and on the day of judgment we are going to get caught for that. Because we're supposed to be spending with a happy heart, and supposed to be sacrificing with a happy heart during the month of Zilhaj, during Qurbani time. So, if you were to send your money away, then first of all, you would try to deceive Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is wrong. Secondly, that if we are going to repeatedly send our money away from the country and not do sacrifice here, not make Qurbani here, then this practice of Qurbani, our children will not witness, and sooner or later they may even they will reach a stage where they will forget about Qurbani. So it is proper that we make our qurbani in our own countries, in our own areas. The other point is that there are various places where you make qurbani. And if there is facilities, proper facilities, meaning where the laws of farza are maintained, where proper laws of farza are maintained, then the women folk may go there. But if there is no proper facilities, then the women folk should not go there, although they should depute and they should give the responsibility of sacrifice to their husbands to make their sacrifice. Because nowadays what has become that the masbah, that the area where the sacrifice is taking place, has become a very big festival. And people, the women folk and the young girls put on their best clothes and fineries and go there for some other purposes. And shaitan is always there to attack us, to mislead us, to waylay us, and to put wrong ideas in the head, and the whole idea of sacrifice goes on. Other point is that this qurbani, just as if we sacrifice the animal for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we should also now come into the spirit that we should learn to make qurbani of our time for the pleasure of Allah, our wealth for the pleasure of Allah, our desires for the pleasure of Allah, our whims and fancies for the pleasure of Allah, and our luxuries for the pleasure of Allah, our comfort for the pleasure of Allah. that we should now sacrifice our wealth
for the pleasure of Allah,
our property for the pleasure of Allah,
our
blood, sweat and wealth for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we should learn now how to go out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how to encourage our people to go out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how we should sacrifice this temporary world which is fleeting, and adhere to the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and become successful. If we do this, then we may so-called have a little difficulty or so-called have a little problem, but in the long run, that is in the grave and in the eternal life of the hereafter, we will definitely see the benefits and we will definitely see the fruits of our sacrifice. And this all we learn from the sacrifice of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. Another point is that in the sacrifice of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam and in the hijrat of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, you will come to realize that his whole family is involved. His son is involved, his wife is involved, and his whole khadar is involved. His family is involved in this sacrifice. We also will have to bring our whole family on the tartib of sacrifice onto the pattern of sacrifice to get the nusrat and the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to get the aid of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to get the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another point before I conclude is that a similarity between Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam and the time when Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam began to give the call of Tawheed was that during the time of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa sallam, that idol worship and star worship was prevalent. During the time of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, these both things also were prevalent. Idol worship and stars worship. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa sallam refuted both. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also refuted both to bring pure tawheed, to bring pristine tawheed to the surface and preach it so that we could benefit and be saved from the fire of hell and we could lead the life as wahid, as those believing in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to understand deen, to practice deen, to conform to the shariat of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to adhere to the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and to educate ourselves so that the onslaught of the West, that the onslaught of the Christians and the Jews does not shake our iman and does not bring doubt into us. This only can be done that we go to spiritual gatherings, we go to those gatherings where Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are discussed in the true and authentic way and reliable way, and not attending those gatherings which bring evil, which bring corruption, which bring innovation, which bring kufr, shirk and bidat into our lives. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. يا رحم الراحمين يا رحم الراحمين يا رحم الراحمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله سيدنا محمد وعلى آله سيدنا محمد ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار رب اغفر لي ولوالدي وللمسلمين جميعا المسلمين Allah forgive our major and minor sins. Allah forgive our sins that we committed in the brightness of the day. Allah forgive our sins that we committed in the darkness of the day. Allah grant us the ability to do good actions in this month. Allah grant us the ability to make qurbani. Allah grant us the ability to become good Muslims. Allah grant us the ability to become understanding Muslims. Allah grant us the ability to enjoy what is good and forbid what is evil. Allah grant us the ability to become steadfast in salah. Allah grant us the ability to conform to the shariah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah grant us the ability to please you in every way. Allah grant us the ability to stand up for salah every day. Allah grant us the ability to become charitable person. Allah, all those have called for us, Allah, make it easy for them. Allah, all those places where they are going to be istibar and where there are jors taking place, Allah, bring khayr in there. Allah, accept our dua through the wasila of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa akhir da'an, alhamdulillah, rabbil alamin.